At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Hey, friends, and welcome to the Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey podcast. I'm your host, Jamie, and I'm so glad you're here. Each week on this show, I invite a friend to join me, and we chat about the big things in life, the little things in life, and everything in between. Hey, y'all, and welcome to the Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey. I'm so happy that you're here. It's the middle of April. It's one of my dog's birthdays today. Isn't that funny that I have that on my calendar? But yes, it is. But I'm glad you're listening today. We have a great show for you today. I sit down and chat with Rebecca St. James, who has been doing music and ministry and all kinds of things since she was like 16 years old, and her and I are the same age. So she's just a wealth of information. It was fun chatting with her. She also has a podcast. You like podcasts. You're here. You're listening. Check hers out. It's called Rebecca St. James Friends and Family, and she's in the middle of season 3 right now. She also just released a new album called Kingdom Come, and the title track on that song, Kingdom Come, she also wrote and sings with her brothers, who are the duo for King and Country. And so literally, I've got all the small bones because her sister-in-law, Mariah, was on the podcast last November. Listen, in like 2 weeks, her brother Joel is on the podcast. And so this is really fun getting to know this family. Just yesterday, her mom released a book, Behind the Lights, The Extraordinary Adventure of a Mom and Her Family. And so the Small Bones are just doing great things. It's fun to chat with her. Towards the end of this conversation, we have a chat about walking through a dry season, kind of this winter season. And if that's you right now, Rebecca's got some great encouragement for you. So stick around to the end. You guys, if you're loving the Happy Hour, which I hope that you are, one of the biggest gifts that you could give us is that you could subscribe to the show. That way, you're never going to miss an interview. That way, we see the people are listening. And you know, when shows are coming up, you're going to get a notification on your phone. So wherever you're listening right now, just look us up, The Happy Hour Jamie Ivey, and then hit the subscribe button and you'll be with us every single week and you will not miss an episode. In fact, you don't want to miss Friday's episode. It's a Good Friday, actually. And my friend Joel Metamali is going to be here with me and we're going to chat all about Good Friday and what that means for us as believers and what that day was like. And so you're going to want to come back here on Friday. All right, y'all, here's my conversation with Rebecca. Rebecca, welcome to the Happy Hour.
Thank you, Jamie. Thank you for having me.
This is a joy to have you on. And I feel like I should just, you know, let you know that we're now just going to go through the small bones because Mariah was on in the fall back in November. And let's see. Okay, so this is April 13th that this show is coming out. And in like 2 weeks, your brother Joel's on the show. Isn't that just hilarious?
I love it. I love it. It's so fun. Well,
if anyone doesn't know who you are, welcome to the world. But you've been in ministry full time, music, books, movies, everything you can count on for decades. Mm-hmm. And so introduce yourself to our people, and then I want to jump into your newest project that you're working on because I'm so excited about it.
Thank you, Jamie. Yeah, it has been decades. And it's funny how, I don't know if anybody else feels like this, but I feel like I just kind of got stuck at the age of like maybe about 28. And I just feel like I've lived there for a minute now. But
do you like being stuck at the age 28?
Yeah. I mean, in my head, I'm that, you know what I mean? Like my life shows that I'm not at, you know, 28, but I just feel like I still feel that, you know, like that, just kind of the energy and the like go after it with two hands and everything I do. But anyway, yes.
I think that's really good.
Thank you. I mean, do you feel that in some ways too? Like,
well, we were talking, just my husband and I were talking to someone the other day saying that we feel so much younger. I'm almost 44.
Yeah,
and so I think we're the
too.
Same age.
77?
Yeah, so we're 78.
Yeah. Okay, I love
so
it.
We're the same age. Yeah. And so there is this sense of, we've been doing ministry, I mean, since we were married, so 20 years.
Yeah.
And we have 4 kids, they're all teenagers. Yeah. So that reminds me that I'm not young anymore as the children.
Okay.
But so many times I do. I just feel like, I don't know how you and your husband feel, but I feel like we're going to be doing this forever. Like, I just, like, the goal of my life is just chase Jesus till I die.
Yes. Yes, 100%.
And we can do that at 44.
Yeah, absolutely. But I also just feel like, you know, people have just been speaking this into my life lately. Just there's a wisdom that comes with kind of like decades of ministry, or it's like the long obedience in the same direction, right. and a depth that comes that is special, and you kind of contribute something. And people have just been speaking that into my life in this season lately. And I don't know, it resonates with me that there's something that I have to offer in this time in my life that I didn't have when I started out at 16, that I didn't have in my early 20s or even late 20s. And, you know, now being married for 11 years this month, and, you know, having three kids, they're 8, 3, and 1. Yeah, there's a life experience that I feel like I can draw from that I didn't have earlier in my life. But yeah, I mean, I don't know how much you want me to go into my story. You covered a lot of the different components with your kind of introduction, but yeah.
Well, I love that. And it kind of makes me think even, you know, you said, you alluded that you started ministry when you were 16 and you were touring and, you know, we'll talk a little bit about that with your family and stuff, but you know, that's a long time to be serving Jesus. And there is this kind of idea, if we're listening, if there's some 20-year-olds listening, and there are 20-year-olds listening to this, that doing ministry for 20 years can feel a little scary. For some, it feels like this is exciting. I can't wait. And for others, I think it can feel daunting because let's be honest, ministry and following Jesus is hard sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so for you personally, following Jesus faithfully for all these years, what's kept you in the game? Like what keeps you still wanting to sing about him? What keeps you still wanting to follow him? What is it that's tethering you to him through all these years?
Well, so I had like, nearly 20 years of music ministry, primarily music, but like you said, I had books and films and, you know, other things that I was doing as well. I'm podcasting now too, you know, but I was out of active ministry for probably 4 or 5 years. Once I got married in my early 30s, kind of retired from music for a while. And I was pretty tired at that point after nearly 20 years of music, starting so young. But I think honestly, Jamie, I think what happened was when God called me back to music, after that kind of that 4 or 5 years of not doing any of it, I had this moment in worship. You know, it was actually an event in Alaska, a very pivotal moment. And I remember just this sense of like a sweet spot or a sense of joy in serving Jesus, a connection with him. It was one of those moments where there's not a dry eye in the room, including me. I'm weeping on stage. It was just, the Holy Spirit was so thick on that place in that moment. And I remembered I miss the connection that I have with Jesus when I sing. I miss this dependence that I have on him when I speak about him. I miss the intimacy of that. And so in coming back to music, I mean, and that was kind of the moment where he called me back and I walked off stage and I was like, God's just done such a new work in my heart. Some of my burnout, some of my kind of pain from burnout is just fallen away, and he's just done this new work. Said it to my brother Joel because we were doing an event together, you know, my brother from the King Country. And so I think it was that sense of renewal, that sense of God's doing something new in this season in my life. I want to be faithful to that, but I also am stoked to re-experience that intimacy and that sweet spot feeling of being in ministry and being where he wants me to be in this season in my life.
I think that's beautiful, and that's not something that just happens to, you know, someone on a stage. Like I think that that's like, we see that all throughout scripture of God drawing his people to him and renewing things in them. And I think it's beautiful. And so I think I'd like to just follow up and hear from you, like, what's your expectant for this next season of ministry? And also I think it's an encouragement to people listening that that season off from this ministry of music, from you creating music and traveling and singing and doing those things, like God was doing a new thing in you in the midst of that. And you might not have even realized it. So what's your expectant for this next season of music?
I'm just expecting to see him show up, and I'm seeing it in my life right now. Like, we just released this new album and we had this worship event kind of the day of the release. And I mean, it was here in Nashville, just this sense of like God moving in the room, God speaking, you know, through the things that were talked about that night, like through the worship, you know, through just people going there with Jesus in worship, but also in that, like, in that sharing of story of what God has done in our life. Like, it's hit me recently, the verse in Revelation that says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. That's the main thing. Jesus did it. He did the work. And we overcome by the word of our testimony as well. And I think us sharing stories of what Jesus has done is so powerful, of when he has done a renewing work or a life-changing work. When we share that in the body of Christ, we overcome through that because we encourage each other. And so I think that this album, what I'm sharing live, my testimony, all these different seasons that he's brought me through of really hard stuff, really challenging stuff, miscarriage, and my husband going through, you know, work challenges, and I mean, burnout, and like, you know, just some really hard, like, curveballs that I didn't see coming in my life. But he's brought me through that, and I have this story to share that can, I think, encourage the body of Christ to overcome. So it's not just the music, it's my testimony. And you know, you also asked a second ago about how I've kind of stuck in there or hung in there or want to continue to be in ministry. Community, Jamie, I feel like that's such a huge part of my life, like family doing this thing with me, whether it was my family of origin or, you know, now our little family doing it together on the road. Our church body surrounding me, like friends that have been in it with me, wept with me in moments where I've needed that, have laughed with me in the highs, like just being in it together and calling and just saying, hey, can you just pray for me for this specifically right now? Like, community has been such a big part of it. And just the grace of God, he's just been good to me. He really has.
I love that so much. You know, you wrote this new album, which is great. I've listened to it. It's beautiful. Thank you for this work.
Thank you.
I'm married to a singer-songwriter, and so I know from just this, like, behind-the-scenes type feeling. I mean, I love it when Aaron comes home and he's like, I want to play the song I have for you, and, like, half of it doesn't even have words in it, and half of it's him mumbling, but it's this idea and this kind of journey to get to something beautiful. And I was watching the video that you and both your brothers from are in the video with you. And I think you guys co-wrote this song.
Kingdom we did. Come,
am I right about that?
Yes.
Yeah. Right. So you guys co-wrote this. And it opens up with this beautiful quote that I literally pushed 30-second rewind on like 5 times to let it sink in. And it's from an evangelist, Rodney Smith. And the quote from him is, draw a circle around yourself and pray. Oh, Lord, revive everything in this circle. And I just gave myself chills again.
Me too.
That because it is, it is just this idea that will stick with me for a while. I mean, I'm going to be meditating on that all day for sure. But I'd love to hear the process of this song coming together. That quote at the beginning, what were you guys wanting to portray in the song? Because it's beautiful and it really speaks to this generation right now.
Thank you. Well, yeah, we wrote that song beginning of last year, actually. And you know, we kind of, my brothers are super, super busy. My life is also super busy. So to songwrite together, you have to be quite intentional about it. And so we knew this, you know, this moment in time was coming up, and I was so thrilled that they were carving out the time to do it. And so getting us in the room, you know, that just that moment in time alone was super special. I'm very close to my family. I'm the oldest of 7. So the 2 of 5 brothers. But anyway, we just had the sense of expectancy. We prayed. We had some ideas on the front end, but I think the key points that we felt in the spirit were to be a part of this song with this idea of revival, that we desperately need revival in the church, across the world. Like, people are hungry. There's, I think, hopelessness and isolation and, you know, pain and division. And I think we need an awakening that is true. That comes from us individually seeking God in humility and wanting to be holy and wanting to live in an honoring way, and then collectively coming together and seeking God in a powerful way in worship. So the themes were revival, worship. We want it to be all about him, and the Lord's Prayer. I mean, and the Beatitudes. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were so many components. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Like, what a prayer. Like, Lord, do this thing in me that only you can do. And so it all collided on that day. We left. We knew we had something really special. And it's great now seeing it. It's on radio. It's out in the world. The single is, you know, online. streaming everywhere. But it's just really lovely now to see fruit of that and to lead it, you know, in worship and see people responding. So it's just been a really, really lovely journey.
It's really beautiful. And as I was prepping for this interview last week, it's funny because your mom has a book that came out that came through my office. And so congrats to your mom here.
Wow.
Behind the Lights.
You are being inundated with small bones.
I am. Small bones are coming at me from everywhere. But I didn't realize till last week that I knew that you had a lot of siblings in your family. I didn't realize you were the oldest. And so also I didn't realize, I was skimming through this book last week and I was like, oh my gosh, when you went on tour here in America, when you first guys started, because your family moved here, everyone in your family, like you've had like a 5-year-old brother, like running lights for your concerts and stuff. I mean, you guys
maybe did not everything. Five, but a spotlight. Somebody was running a spotlight at 6. Yeah.
Somebody was running a spotlight at 6. Yeah. And you've mentioned several times, like how close you are with your family. And it's beautiful. I have 4 kids myself. And I know you said you have 3 kids. And this is something that I desire for my kids as they grow up, for them to still be close and connected to each other. When you look back on just how your parents raised you guys and the fact that you guys are so close, like all of us moms are like, what did your mom do? What did your dad do? Like, what was something that kind of held your family together that you as a 40-year-old woman are still like, I want to hang out with my brothers and I want to write music with them because I think they're so super talented. What were some of those things that you look back on and now respect and love that your parents did?
Well, I think they would even say just so much of it was what God did in our family's life that was just so radical and different. Like, we moved to the U.S. My dad lost his job a couple months after we moved. There was 6 kids. You know, we went through a living by faith time where we were, you know, praying about a car that we needed and food and money to survive and, you know, furniture in our house. We were furnitureless for a while. And so we saw God show up. We saw miracles. We saw, you know, truckloads of furniture dropped at our house and groceries and checks come in the mail randomly and a car given to us, you know, by people we just had just met. So miracles happen. And I think that bonded us in a family way for life that was super special because we saw the power of God. I also think we served him together. So we, for a while there, we were cleaning houses and raking lawns and, you know, mowing yards and babysitting and like kind of pulling together as a family to survive as a family. And so honestly, like, I think sometimes we can feel so threatened by, especially as parents, by painful curveballs in life. But I think that if there's a way to like buckle down together as a family and be honest with our kids that we're kind of, you know, I mean, obviously to their ability to handle it, we don't want to dump on our kids, but my parents invited us into the challenges of that time and said, look, kids, we need to pray. We need to ask God to show up for us in this time and provide for us. And because they were humble enough to do that, to invite us into the journey, we saw miracles and we saw the power of God and we saw the power of prayer. And so I'm thankful that they did that. And we didn't feel scared. We were just like, oh, this is an adventure. And now we see God moving. So I think I'm intentionally being, you know, real, especially with our oldest, who can kind of start to comprehend with her and just saying, hey, can you pray for mommy for, you know, this event that I have coming up that I'm a bit vulnerable about or a bit scared about? And she'll pray for me to be brave, Jamie. Like, she'll just like on her own, you know, now without me even asking her, she'll just say, hey, mommy's got this thing coming up. Can you just help her to be brave for that, Lord, and give her the confidence that she needs? Like, it's just, but just inviting them to journey with us, with God. I think my parents did that really well.
I think it's beautiful because I think sometimes as parents, I know that I would fall into this boat of being the kind of mom that would want to shield my kids from things. Like, I don't want them to know about this heartache. I don't want them to know about this fear. I want them to see me as like strong and capable. Right. And don't worry, kids, mom and dad have everything under control. And I've seen that kind of backfire, not in a bad way, but I've just seen maybe some ways that Aaron and I have tried to keep things from our kids has not allowed them to see the beauty when God comes through and does things. Yeah. And so I think it's beautiful. And I think I even saw on your Instagram recently about your oldest daughter, like, hurt her leg. And you were like coming into that like prayer and like how's and letting her see miracles happen. I mean, so you're just repeating what was shown to you, which is beautiful.
Thank you for highlighting that. Yeah, she broke her leg, her tibia, her shin bone all the way through skiing in January. It was terrible, terrible break, terrible curveball that we didn't see coming. And at one point she couldn't move out of bed for like a day and a half. She was just so scared, so fearful of the pain. And we prayed together with her and asked God to help her get out of bed and to move and conquer that fear. And within a half an hour, she was out and no trauma, no hysteria, none of it. And so, yes, we're doing kind of what we're attempting to do, what I think I saw in my family of origin, which is go to God with our kids and expect him to move.
Mm. It is allowing them into the beauty of what God does is mm-hmm. enter into our stories.
Yeah.
You know? And so allowing yeah. them to see that, because we all come, we come into our marriages, we come into our families, we come into our parenting with stories, and
yes.
they determine who we are, and they change so much. So we're allowing our kids to see that. If you don't know it, guys, I'm a Texas girl through and through. I've lived here most of my life. I was born here and I love traveling. Here's why I love traveling throughout Texas, because it has a vast landscape of cultures, regions, destinations, and activities, which means there's an infinite number of different travel experiences. And no two travelers are exactly alike, and it means that no two trips should be either. If you're a beach person, well, you can have fun under the sun with Texas's 350 miles of coastline. If you're more of a rugged vacation type, there are campgrounds, hiking trails, and state parks galore. And foodies cannot get enough of Texas's world-famous barbecue and Tex-Mex. Enjoy live music, visit internationally recognized art museums, and check out thrilling cowboy experiences. And now, Travel Texas offers a one-of-a-kind online trip builder that allows users to generate a custom, visually led trip matched to their unique interests. Guys, come visit my state. Visit traveltexas.com/get-your-own to get the only trip to Texas that matters. Yours. That's traveltexas.com/get-your-own.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
You guys, in January of 2024, I made a commitment to myself. I wanted to get stronger, which meant I needed to get in the gym, which means I needed to move my body in different ways. You guys know I love to walk. Well, it's spring, and spring is the best time for us to start a new workout routine. It's our yearly collective warm-up, and Peloton is here for everyone's yearly warm-up. This is the best time to get into a good rhythm, to tap into your power, and build towards your summer you. I love my Peloton. It accommodates to my schedule with a variety of class lengths to choose from. I can choose a 30-minute class. I can choose a 45-minute class. If you only have 5 minutes, there's literally a class to get you moving your body in 5 minutes. Peloton has a range of class types fit for every goal and every mood. There are classes if you want to hear country music, if you want to hear rock, if you want to go back to the 80s. If you can't run, take a walking class. Need some grounding? Try yoga. If you want to level up, go for their Pilates or HIIT workouts. Here's what I love is that you can move at your own pace. And that is what I'm learning that my body needs right now. It needs to move at its own pace. Peloton makes the process easier with personalized recommendations and guided programs that take all the guesswork out of working out. You guys, we think about so many things during the day. Let's take the guesswork out. Let's jump right in and let's keep our fitness journey fresh every single day. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run outdoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. I personally love a good 45-minute hip-hop class. It gets me moving. It gets me excited. It's my favorite genre of music, just ask my kids. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com. That's onepeloton.com. You know, speaking of stories, you just started, by the time this is airing, you might be in the middle of season 3 of Rebecca St. James' Friends and Family podcast.
Yes.
And Your podcast is doing just that. It's highlighting people's stories. Mm-hmm. That's right. What I love so much about talking to people is I think everyone has something beautiful to say.
Definitely.
Everyone has something beautiful to bring to the world. 100%. And so how have you seen on the other side of the microphone, for you're the one asking the questions and you're the one interviewing, how have you seen people's stories really come in and intersect with yours and change the world?
Thank you for asking about that. I really love doing this podcast thing, and I probably wouldn't have seen that coming. Like, it was something that I feel like God brought about really organically. And I don't know if you had to ask me a few years ago, you know, Rebecca, will you be a podcaster? I would have like, no, there's enough going on. Like, I probably wouldn't have, but it makes so much sense now of like just unique kind of ways that God has crafted my life. Like, for instance, I'm a very curious person. Like, I feel like curiosity is like the sixth love language or something. Like, I just feel like when people
should be.
when people like ask me things about my life and it's perceptive and it's like a, you know, kind of a deeper question, I feel really loved to do that. And I think a lot of people do. Like, when people are curious about us and you know, really ask those very genuine questions, I think it's there's love in that. And so I think that's what I'm attempting to highlight, is exactly what you said, the power of people's stories. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Like, we need to share our stories in the body of Christ. And so we kind of cover everything in this podcast, from, you know, how to pass on your faith, to trauma, to infertility, to purpose, to mission, you know, like just so many different components of the life that we live. I'm kind of intentionally, you know, inviting people onto the show that have a story to tell that needs to be heard in the body. And so it's been really cool. In this last season, we've had Sadie Robertson and Michael W. Smith and my brother's speaking country. I mean, just a lot of different leaders that I kind of like to highlight a different part of their story that maybe doesn't get talked about every single time, you know, like that they're not like kind of traversing that particular part of their story every single day. But it's just been a really beautiful gift to me to be encouraged, because I need it. I need encouragement in my parenting. I need encouragement in my faith, in my marriage. Like, and so I'm like drawing out these nuggets and going, yes, yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. So it's been a really big blessing.
I think podcasts are opening up this whole new world for people to have community. And I don't think podcasts are our community. I think we need people that we can hold their hands and hug and sit across the table and cry with. But I've often seen that podcasts can bring out conversation within your community. Like, you're like, oh my gosh, I heard about this and I learned about this and let's talk about this. You know, one of the things that is always special to me is to know that getting through this life as a follower of Jesus, faithful to the end, you know, I think I heard you quote the quote that says that the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Like, this is what we're here for, to do this. And so to get to the end of our life doing that, I always say, like, God's word and his people, like, that's what's going to keep me on this road walking towards him, God's word and his people. And so you've mentioned community a handful of times, but what has community meant for you in those seasons when life was hard, or where you're like, I'm going to step back from music for a little bit, or I've got all these curveballs, or my husband has job issues, whatever it might be that you have mentioned? What has community meant for you in those moments, and how did they serve you and your family well?
Why God has just given me, just really rich community. My husband too, just people that care about us and love us and are willing to go through the highs and the lows and kind of not scared or thrown by that. And yeah, we went through this time that we call our winter season. And actually, most of this album is written, you know, from that perspective of like trusting God in the middle of the fire and, you know, setting our eyes on him and worshiping him when we're going through stuff, and that he brings a dawn and he brings a sunrise and a new spring. But the winter season involved two miscarriages, infertility, my husband losing a job, you know, him plunged into like, what's my purpose and my mission now, all of this kind of pain. And so we had our church family that was tracking with us through that time. I had a Bible study I was in. I had a cooking club that we would get together and just cook together and fellowship, and we were together. And I had long distance friends here in Nashville, because we were living in California at that time, family, there's people, my mentor, like a counselor that specializes in healing prayer as well, that I was just going to and going, okay, I feel beaten up. Like, can you just encourage me or pray with me right now? You know, it was those lifelines, you know? And I think sometimes we tend, and I've done it in my life too, in different seasons, to withdraw and isolate in our pain because we feel shame and we don't want to show people how weak we're feeling. But God heals us through each other in that time, because we go, hey, I'm broken, I'm hurting, I'm angry, I'm feeling all this heaviness, this sadness, and I feel ashamed about it. And that believer comes around us and hugs us and says, hey, it's okay, I've been there, or I'm with you in it, and I love you still, and shows us really the hug of God, you know, in that time. And it's healing, and that, and that's how it was for me. So I just encourage people that might be listening right now, if you're in that winter season that we were, and God brought us out into a radical new spring, like, there's two children since then, like, I mean, restored my heart, just like, but burnout fell away, called me back to music in a way that I never anticipated. Like, he can do miracles, and he can do it fast too. It doesn't have to be this big old, you know, years and years of recovery. He can do it fast, but just trust him for your spring. Reach out to people, be honest with people, experience the hug and the healing of God through that.
Trust him for your spring. I love that. And I think it's important to also think about, as you're building that community, like, build them in the summer and the fall, because when the winter comes, you're going to need them.
Oh my goodness,
build that community then. Yeah, because then the winter,
it's so good. Yeah.
When the winter comes, like, you want to make sure you've had some kind of resources built up. And we do the same way. I mean, we don't do it anymore, but hundreds of years ago, and plenty of people in the world still do this, but not us necessarily in America. We're building up for the winter, you know, we're storing up. And waiting for that spring to come. I have a friend who lives in the Northeast, and I'm here in Austin. And so spring is like kind of this, like, if you blink real fast, you missed it. Like, it's just not here. But she lives in the Northeast, and she told us the other day in this little group chat, she said, I'm seeing signs of spring, and it just felt so beautiful to her, kind of hurting heart, even just to visually see the spring coming. And it is this reminder, like, Spring is coming. And so we can do that. I would be remiss if I did not ask you, what is a cooking club? Because I was very, very, my ears were wondering, because here's the problem. I don't like to cook, Rebecca, but I like to eat, and I like to hang out. So what happens in the cooking club?
Well, I have to be honest, I'm not sure I love cooking either. You know, I mean, and it's probably my perfectionism that makes, I have this ideal of, you know, what it should be in my head, you know, of like, it's just going to be this amazing protein, that steak, and it's going to be all these sides, and it's just going to be perfection, you know, like restaurant quality. And it's just never quite that, you know. So I just feel but anyway, in that season of my life, we're in California, I read this amazing book by Shauna Nyquist called Bread and Wine.
One of my favorite books she's ever
written. It's so good, right?
It's so good.
And it painted this picture of, again, we're coming back to community, around the table, breaking bread, the vulnerability and the beauty of that. I was just like, I want that. I want what she talks about in that book. And so me and a friend of mine that I'd known for a long time, we gathered a couple friends each, and there was five of us. And we just did it every couple of weeks, and we broke up the meal, and it was so fun. Like, I learned so much about cooking in that time. Not that it's translated to my real life, but maybe one day when it's like life is a little bit calmer, I'll use some of those recipes that we did then. But the community and the joy of what we experienced together was just so beautiful. God met us, and we journeyed through so much together in that time. It was really beautiful.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
I love it. Okay, Rebecca, what are you reading these days?
Well, I'm always reading Christian fiction because I feel like, I mean, I just love, like, my imagination, I think, just enjoys that. That's kind of a little mini luxury at the end of the day to me, is to read Christian fiction. So there's that. That's kind of a constant. But, and I'm often in the middle of some kind of teaching book as well.
Yeah.
But the one that has actually really been a, just sewing into me lately, this kind of book series, a devotional book series, is by Shanti Feldhahn. And she has these different devotional books on, I think, rest, joy, and there's another one. I think it's peace. And every day I'm reading this devotional book. It's for women, and it's beautiful, leather-bound devotional book. But it is just bringing so much encouragement. Like, she brings in, she's an amazing writer, but she brings in story to every single one of these daily topics on rest that is just ministering to me and challenging me. And I'm like tearing up with this devotional book. And so I'm just thankful for people who are in their sweet spot of calling, like Shanti, who's a friend of mine too. Had her on my podcast as well. But she just is breathing life into me every day through these stories and this truth and the word of God that she is just beautifully weaving in. And so I'm very thankful for that.
I love that so much. Well, Rebecca, I'm very grateful and thankful that you spent some time with us today.
Me too.
What an encouragement for those just maybe walking through that dry winter season. I think it's just, you have just encouraged us so well with looking forward to that. And so thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me, Jamie.
You guys, I loved chatting with Rebecca, and we have a treat for you. We have her song from her new album, Kingdom Come, for you to listen to right now. Enjoy it now when you're listening to the podcast and walking or cleaning or whatever you're doing. And then go wherever you listen to music and find the song. You can download it wherever you listen to music. It is available every single place.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, who long for you, long for you. Blessed are the heavy hearted, in need of you, need of you. Your hands are healing, your heart is hope, your word is freedom from all of the world. You are redemption, you are our help. We need you with us, so let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as is in heaven. Let your kingdom come and your will be done from now until forever. We'll keep on singing. Oh, let it start with us. Oh, your kingdom come.
Lover of our souls, redeem us. We live for you.
Right here, right now, we're reaching.
Thank you so much for listening to the Happy Hour with Jamie Ivy podcast. We are truly grateful for every single story that we get to share with you, every encouragement we get to give you, and every opportunity we get to point all of us to Jesus. If you're loving this show, we would really appreciate it if you would leave us a rating and or a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Also, tell your friends. That is the number one way that people find out about our show. It's because you tell them. Join us right here every Wednesday and Friday for meaningful conversations that will make us think, they'll make us laugh, and they'll always point us back to Jesus. And come find me other places on the internet as well. I love Instagram. I'm over there at Jamie Ivy. And if you've never visited my YouTube page, you're going to want to go there. Have you ever listened to a show and wondered, I wonder what they look like? Well, go find us over there. It's jamieivy.com/YouTube. The Happy Hour is produced by Lindsay Sweeney. Show notes are written by Abigail Castell. Graphics are by Amaya Savoy Easton. The show is edited by Angie Elkins. And I'm your host every week, Jamie Ivy. And goodness gracious, I love being here with you guys. Until next time, have a happy hour with a friend.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.